can't sleep, trapped in my own mind. Anxiety. Drowning in the darkness, just can't see the light.
Depression.
Doubtful, insecure, can I really do this?
Imposter syndrome.
I'm alone, unloved, just feel invisible.
That's loneliness.
We're not therapists, but we need one.
Hello, and welcome to
We're Not Therapists, But We Need One.
The podcast where we have honest and vulnerable conversations about our mental health with one another.
I'm Jay.
And I'm Anthony, and neither of us are therapists.
But we're trying to help ourselves and each other by sharing our experiences and feelings.
In this show, we'll deep dive into topics like anxiety, depression,
self-esteem, trauma, and more.
We'll talk about how they affect us,
how we cope,
and what we've learned along the way.
We're not doing this to bash or blame anyone,
especially our families, who may have contributed to our mental health challenges.
We're doing this to heal and grow,
and hopefully inspire others who can relate and open your mind to your own healing.
We also want to warn you that this show may contain some sensitive and triggering content.
We'll be talking about personal and painful things that happen to us and how they still affect us to this day.
If you're not comfortable with that, or if you feel like you need professional help,
this show may not be for you. But
if you're ready to join us on this journey of self-discovery and self-improvement, we're glad to have you.
We're not experts, but we're honest and we're not alone.
Now, let's start the timer. Anthony, how do you feel today?
I'm doing okay. Today has been a little rough. Yesterday was a little extra rough. I had a full-on panic attack almost in the evening. Not complete panic attack. I've had them before where they're severe, and I was able to sit and breathe through this one. Of course, I've been tapering off my medicine, and I bumped it back up to 5 milligrams a day over the last week, instead of 5 milligrams every other day. But I had a doctor's appointment today, and my nerves have been racked about it because I needed to have blood work done, and I've been delaying it because the last time I did it, my liver enzymes and my cholesterol were both high. And a natural reaction for me, I shut the fuck down when I get scared of things. And so that was exactly what happened, and I've been delaying going back to get this blood work done, and I've been just scheduling virtual visits. So I went today, my blood pressure was higher than normal, which I already am on blood pressure meds, but like my top number was like 160, and my doctor was like, that is really high. And I was like, well, yeah. I have been super nervous about being here. But, you know, in addition to that, like, I've just been super stressed over the past several weeks. So, I went, I did it, I got my blood work done. I don't have the results yet. I'd love to tell you that everything was super fine, but I don't actually know. But it's over, and now, whatever happens, it's out of my hands.
Yeah, whatever happens, it's at least known.
Exactly. But I've been fretting over it. And I think I told you about this, because I was fretting over it last week, and I forgot about the appointment. I forgot which day it was, and I got a text like 10 minutes before it was supposed to happen to remind me to be there, and I was like, well, it's 25 minutes away. I'm not going to make it.
Oopsie poopsie.
I know.
But there is that 15-minute window often, so you can be like, what if I just gun it?
So she told me that. I was like, no, I'm not going to do that, because odds are, my luck, I will get pulled over and I will get a speeding ticket on my way to this stupid doctor's appointment when I could just reschedule it.
That's true.
So I did reschedule it, and I did go, and I did the thing, and I was very honest with my doctor, you know, just trying to be open about like how much I've been drinking, and drinking more than I really should. It's less than what I used to drink, but it's still more than what I want to drink. And it's almost like a boredom thing. I just do it to kind of pass the time in the evenings.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, we talked about that. He prescribed me naltrexone. Naltrexone, I think is what it's called. Anyways, it's supposed to, like, you're supposed to take it in the evening, and it's supposed to reduce the reward effect that drinking has, which, you know, sad times. But but you know, I say this and I bring it up to him because I don't have a physical dependence. Like, I don't get shaky when I don't drink. I don't like, I don't get those physical side effects. It just, it kind of itches in my mind in the evenings when I get home. So like at work all day, I won't think about it at all. And then I'll get home and I'll get settled in for the evening. And then it's when I'm sitting there and there's nothing else happening that I start wanting to drink. And again, it's less than what it used to be, but it's still high enough that, like, I think it's relevant to my health. So I brought it up, and that was a rough moment because I was raised in a way that, like, that's a really shameful thing to talk about.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to talk about it here, too. I'm actually having a whole moment right now. I'm not as panicky because it's you and I trust you so much, but I also know that this is going to air publicly.
Don't worry. I'm about to get on socials right now.
Thank you. Please put it everywhere. Well, it's going to be everywhere anyways. But I see the need to be public about that because while I don't necessarily know that I would say I'm an alcoholic because there's never, like, I when I've had times that alcohol has affected me negatively, I've put up walls with it that I haven't deigned to cross since. And it's been years and years. So, like, day drinking is something if I do it, it is so rare as to be once or twice a year.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I don't do it because it can cause me anxiety the next day, and I don't like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are things that I have control over with it, but then there's other things, you know, and I think it's like a yet situation. I think anybody who has dealt with, like, any sort of, like, substance issues, you know, those things can dangerously spiral if you don't treat them with care.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm taking a break from it for a while. I know Joe just did, and, you know, he took his 30-day break, and I think he's going to join me on this too. I'm just going to take some time off and see if, you know, I can kind of reset my relationship with how I spend my evenings, my relationship with myself. Because I think the issue is that I'm not spending time doing the things that I really want to do, like the constructive things that would be worth my time. Because I don't feel like doing them, because I just feel like drinking. Because I think that's just easier. It's an easier thing to do in the evenings. So, anyways, that's kind of been my whole roller coaster of a day. Just kind of shat it all over you right here on the
podcast.
That's a day. It's been a whole day. Luckily, it's not been a bad day. It's just been a day. It's been a busy one.
Well, that's how are you, Jay?
We're like 1/6 of the way through this. How are you?
Fine. No, I'm kidding.
Podcast over.
No, I'm good. I'm a little tired today, but it's Tuesday. Tuesday, for some reason, is always my more tired day of the week, and I don't know why. I always like, oftentimes, I'll sleep well, really hard into Monday. And then I'll go to bed Monday night, and I'm still kind of wired in a way. Mm. And so I don't sleep as well. So, like, last night, oh, my gosh. Okay, well, for the world that – the very small world that listens to this right now, I have a CPAP machine. Ugh. And I'm also trying to make my CPAP strap that goes across my head not mess my hair up so often anymore. So I've started wearing a silk hat. To protect my hair, so I have a silk hat, and then my sleep doctor wants me to wear a chin strap to try and keep me from opening my mouth. So last night was my first experience of wearing this black silk cap, and then I have a chin strap on, and then I have my CPAP on.
Oh, this is supposed to be the serious podcast, but
I know. I wanted to snap a picture, but I was like, I don't know if I want to do this, because I was going to send it to my boyfriend and be like, oh my god, that'll be like the snap. He'll be like, never mind.
You know, bye. You don't need to move down here. Turns out, yeah,
like Houston's great. You stay up there. Oklahoma City's really good for you. But anyway, so I woke up this morning, and I don't know. what happened, but I moved a lot in my sleep. And so my alarm's going off. I have rolled across my bed and the hose to my CPAP is like tension strapped to my clear to the machine that's still luckily on my nightstand. My chin strap has slipped down and it's like in my mouth, so it's not doing anything. And my black silk cap is like slipped over my face. So I open my eyes, I can't see anything, and I'm just like, where's my alarm? And it was a very chaotic way to wake up.
Oh my god. That's so when I did my test for my CPAP, that was how I woke up like the first night with it, because I slept in the guest room because I didn't want to bother Joe, because he called it my Iron Man outfit, because I had a little chest monitor.
Oh here, god, that thing and it sucked.
Had a bright fucking light that was on it.
Yeah.
And so like I woke up at like 3 a.m., like arms and legs splayed everywhere, and the hose was like on top of my head and nothing was going right. It was,
yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it was quite a chaotic way to wake up. So I've kind of been in this, like, ugh, lull all day. But other than that, I'm fine.
I can share some anxiety with you. It keeps you wide the fuck awake.
No, I always think I have enough.
Oh, okay.
I usually have enough anxiety.
I'm happy to especially, share that plenty of it.
Especially since getting off of my ADHD meds, where I now feel like everything's a little bit more chaotic again.
Ooh, yeah.
In there. And so, like, it almost feels like bipolar. Like, the days I get really good sleep, my mind is usually pretty okay. Yeah, like, everything's logical. But the day I have a bad moment of sleep, I, like, go down this path of thinking. And it ruminates into this mess. And then my problem is like, logical me is like, no, like, this isn't accurate, but then I'm like, but what if it is? And so then I'm just constantly, it's constantly this whole debacle in my mind of, is this realistic thinking? Is this not realistic thinking? Should I be nervous about it? Should I not be nervous about it? And then because I'm going through that, I bottle up a lot because I'm like, well, I'm not going to burden the world with all my problems when I can't even decide if they're problems. And so then I feel bad the moment I finally let things out and it feels bombarding. So I'm trying to get better at recognizing those things too.
Yeah, that's a tough one because you don't want to keep it bottled up, but you also don't want to like catch somebody on the wrong day and like,
create I get what an you're issue. Saying. Yeah. Create yeah. an issue over something that's absolutely nothing at all. It's just you had a bad night of sleep and your mind is basically tricking you into thinking that you're problematic in so many ways.
Ugh, I hate that.
And so yeah, it's so much. That surfaces on me randomly and I don't realize how long I bottle those things up, and so it drives me bonkers.
You know, forever ago. And I say forever ago as though it was forever ago. Back in, what, 2021? Is that when I quit my other job? Whatever year I ended up quitting work. Yeah, I was 21 because we went on our cruise in 22. And I would have been not able to do that otherwise.
Yeah.
So I quit my job because of how terrible it was. But I suffered all of these, like horrendous, like I catastrophized everything because I kept thinking that if I left that job that all of these bad things would happen, and just like what you're saying, I would take the littlest thing and it would spiral into this giant thing. Like I just kept thinking like, well, if I quit then I won't have this income, and if I don't have this income then I can't afford this, and we can't afford this, and then what happens if I can't find a job, and then we lose the house and blah blah blah. And a couple of things. When I went through that intensive outpatient therapy to really deal with things, I learned about radical acceptance, which is basically exactly what it sounds like. You spend a lot of time focusing on the things that you sort of catastrophize and then really reflect on, like, so what?
Yeah.
Like, you can only do so much about the things that, like, you can only do so much. You are only in control of certain things, and certain things are entirely outside of your control. But then the other thing that really helped me through it was my therapist telling me basically, like, well, what happens if you do all that? Like, what happens if you have to file bankruptcy? And I was like, well, then I'll have bad credit for 7 years. And she was like, well, you have a car, you have a house. So, and I was like, God damn it, you're right. Not that I ended up filing bankruptcy. The worst thing didn't happen. Right. But it was still one of those moments where it was, when it boiled right down to it, it was more of a, is it going to kill you? Because if it's going to kill you, then maybe you should worry about it. But if it's not going to kill you.
Did they consider that, all that, as like a part of your, of depression? Or?
How do you mean?
I guess. Did they relate all that thinking style to depression, or was it like anxiety is another thing, or?
It's, so that is the downside to mental health diagnoses, is that there's so much overlap between different like diagnoses out there. I clinically diagnosed with anxiety, and funny enough, listed on my official medical chart, minor major depressive. Whatever they call it. So it's minor major. It's not so major as to just be major, but it does need the word in there.
It's
so
just it's major enough, but minor.
Yeah. So I, that's the thing I really wanted to talk to my doctor about today too. And I just got sidetracked, was how to like navigate that a bit better. But, you know, I chalked it up to anxiety, is how I always felt about it. Because I would do these things where I would get anxiety and depression go hand in hand so often, because what happens is you catastrophize in your anxiety, and then you get so far into it that your brain and your body wear out, because you've been so tense, not only mentally, but physically, because you hold all of that in your like muscles. And eventually your body gives out and it can't care anymore. And so you end up going from these anxious episodes into straight up depression. And I found myself at my worst whenever I was working that last job for the business I quit. And it was just every day I was so anxious. And then every morning I would wake up and be so depressed that it was like... I know that it's cliche, but moving mountains to just get out of bed.
Yeah.
Because that's how it feels. Because you just, it's almost like you just don't. Like your body just can't do it. No matter how much your brain says, hey, we need to move, your body just won't. It's so weird, because I was taught, like growing up, because my mom suffers from bipolar disorder, I just always assumed that depression was just like being sad a lot, because she was always crying, and it just wasn't that. It's not that.
Yeah.
My depression has always been very insidious, in the way that I'll stop doing certain things. I won't do little things. The other day, great example, I was eating pickles. No, I was putting pickles on a sandwich, and I closed the lid to the pickles, and I just said, you could put them back after you're done eating the sandwich. When the fridge is like 5 feet away from me, I could put them back then. And I told myself, I had to actively tell myself, you need to put those pickles back, man. That's depression. That's a little thing that you want to skip doing that you just need to do. So I don't know. I feel like the thought process like that, like going back to what you actually asked, I feel like it was more anxiety than it was depression, but they just, they're so close to each other in my head that it's hard to distinguish which is which.
Yeah. The reason I asked is because I finally have booked myself my own therapist. Finally.
Hey.
And so,
now we got to change the title of the show to We're Not Therapists, but we have one.
But we all have one, because we need one. Yeah. filling out some of the forms, her questionnaires were a little bit different than what I did for my psychiatrist stuff. And I thought they were going to be the same. And it was funny going through the one that was definitely leaning on depression stuff, because thoughts of suicide, stuff like that, that's not an issue for me. That's not a concern. But I definitely have noticed that I don't really have a joy for doing things anymore.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that's the start of it that garners my attention to make me go, oh my God, I really want to do that. Like, it was kind of overwhelming to think about how I used to have excitement to do things, and I don't have that at all. Every outlook just seems, like, it's hard to get excited about things because so much doesn't go right.
Mm-hmm.
That I just can't get excited for it. And so when it does go right, I'm like, oh, cool. And when it doesn't go right, it feels absolutely detrimental.
Do you think a part of that is having to deal with the constant, and this may be me conflating my issues to your issues, and so it's okay to say no, but do you think any part of that could be having to deal with the constant barrage of information that the always connected life gives you, to where news isn't anything anymore? It sort of hits you like it just brushes off your shoulder.
I link it to that because over the years, it's just been a barrage of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Especially within the past decade. It's just been like, bam, bam, bam. And it's been so exhausting. And I would say that has been where it started wearing down, 2015 and on. It's just...
And I mean, I agree and I believe it.
And I'm so tired from it. And I'm just like, fuck. Like, I have 35 more years of work. So I have to go through this life on a regular basis. And that is basically based off of today's retirement age. So then I start having this panic because I'm like, I have that amount of time. My genetics are shitty. Am I going to be just doing this for the rest of my life? And it's...
That is depression.
And I don't think it hit me until recently that I was like, I think this is a problem.
When you get stuck in that thought loop of, is this all there is? That's just, it's straight up depression. I know because I've been there several times, and I've been there recently, baby. But it's, yeah, yes, I empathize with you because I hate that feeling, and I run into that feeling. And honestly, if I'm being very straightforward, I've been in that mindset recently, where I just feel like, what is the point of everything if it's just this? But also, to kind of bring it around to something mildly less
depressing,
disheartening, I think a lot of times that's a good time for us to do a couple of things to, you know, take a step. Because I've been doing this recently because I haven't done it in a while and I need to go back and redo it, but I need to take stock of things that are important to me, the good things that I have in my life, and start doing sort of like a gratitude list from time to time, if not every day, like at least a couple of times a week, where I can start writing those things down, because it does help to put it on paper. But then also, one thing that I've been so bad about is being kind, just randomly to strangers, just showing kindness in general. Because I've been so disenfranchised with the world that I don't extend those courtesies, those kindnesses that I used to. And I grew up doing it all the time. And lately it's made me feel like an asshole because the times that I've tried to like extend courtesies and being nice, it feels like people just take advantage of it. And so I feel like I don't want to do that. But at the same time, that type of giving mentality is what gives us more dopamine than anything else. So it's, you know, giving actions scientifically make you happy.
It's so ironic you said that, because I've been telling myself that I need to do this more. And so I just recently myself started doing that, where I literally complimented a lady at a checkout register the other day that was running. She looked really beat down by work. It's exhausting. I can imagine. She was an older woman, probably retirement age, working in a grocery store, and she just looked tired, worn out that day, and I just wanted to compliment her. And the amount of boost you get just from being nice and seeing that someone else was happy as a result of something you did or said, it's kind of rewarding. And so I was like, okay, you have to do this more often.
It allows
in a selfish way, it makes you feel better.
Well, yes, but it also gives you a deeper connection with other people. And, you know, as humans, scientifically, we crave that. Even though I'm like super introverted, at the same time, I need to feel a connection with other people, because that isolation is what sends you into despair and inaction. And I feel like a lot of times during election cycles, especially these last, three, we get beat down with despair. And I think it's nearly on purpose, just to make sure that as few voters as possible turn out, so that you just feel so beat up that you don't want to do anything with it. And that is how I feel a lot of times with it. So I think that might be just a sort of a symptom of our society, because so many people feel the same way.
It's a real pain. So I've been trying to just find things recently that either new things that bring me joy, or trying to rehash old things that brought me joy. And it's work, because I'm not the same person I was before this all hit, which has been so long.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I don't know. I feel like mental health struggles are those. It's hard sometimes, because you can make progress and then you can feel like you're backsliding.
Oh, man. Yeah.
But you're not really backsliding. You've made progress. And even though you might be feeling low, you aren't as low as you were before you came out of your last low.
What really landed me on getting, like, finalizing the concept where I'm like, you have to get a therapist, you have to find one, was I feel like, especially since 2020, when I started really being like, I'm going to focus on my mental health, I feel like within the last 4 years, especially the last 2 years, I've had just substantial growth. And I'm very proud of myself for that, honestly. I have made massive changes in recognizing me, who I am, and just I'm very happy with that. But you start having all these moments pop up and these realizations, and it feels like, what have I actually done? Like, is it any, did I get anywhere? And you just start to I felt so confused that I had so much hit at once after doing all this work for so long, that I was like, well, what have I been doing for 4 years? And so I was like, I think I need somebody that's going to reassure me that I'm not fucking wasting my time in my own head.
Well, and you're not, because it can sometimes be hard for us to give ourselves credit. And I know we've talked about that before, but I feel like a lot of really lasting impacts that you can have on the world is to take something good and put it out there.
Yeah.
You know, art is always great, but taking something you love and giving it to other people. And you do that already via this podcast and via our other podcast. I mean, I know it's not reaching millions of people, but at the same time, like, you're reaching people in a way that's meaningful. And you've reached other people and impacted their lives and made them decidedly better. And I think you should give yourself credit for that. I think you should understand that you are not just doing something to do it, but you're having a real meaningful impact on another human being that is tangible to their life.
I at least like to hope so.
Well, and you are. I know that telling you that can't actually make you think or believe it, but I'm telling it to you anyways.
Thanks. I always need the reassurance. I apparently thrive off reassurance.
Yeah, it's
that's also something I really wanted to work on, was figure out how to do my own reassurance, because I don't realize how much I depend on, like, I just need somebody around me to be like, yes. And I'm like, that's people pleasing,
baby.
I know, and I think I'm doing so much better at it, but then I turn around and I'm like, fuck, no, you're not. I mean, I am, but...
I mean, we're both doing better. It just, yeah, it's tough right now. And I think, you know, everybody's feeling a little down in the dumps currently. There's a lot of people feeling the same way.
So much shit going on.
Not alone, for sure. It feels really isolating, but it's not true. You know, you're not the only person who feels that way. But I am glad to hear that you're getting, like, professional help. In fact, I have therapy right after this.
Yeah, mine's Thursday. So, she's actually out of Tulsa.
Oh, really? What's her name?
I'd have to look. Oh, wrong phone.
I was like, is he running out the clock so he doesn't have to answer?
I'd have to look again.
I mean, you can tell me later. It's fine.
Yeah, I'll tell you in a minute, because I can't remember, and I have to look it up.
It's okay. I was just curious. I always wonder, like, is it my therapist?
Perfect timing.
That was good timing.
And we're out of time.
Thank you for joining us today on our show. As you can see, therapy is not always easy, but it can be very rewarding and healing.
If you want to follow our journey and see how we progress, tune in next episode for the continuation of We're Not Therapists, But We Need One.
Join us on our socials, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, and Instagram, and email us at nopenottherapists@gmail.com.
That's nopenottherapists@gmail.com.
We would love to hear your thoughts on our journey, or any questions you have that we can help answer. Until then,
stay safe.
Mental health is a serious and important issue that affects millions of people around the world.
If you or someone you know is struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, or have any other mental health conditions, you're not alone, and there is help available.
You don't have to suffer in silence or feel ashamed of your feelings.
There are many resources and support networks that can help you cope and heal.
Here are just a few.
The Crisis Text Line, which is a 24/7 service that connects you to trained crisis counselors who can help you with any type of emotional crisis. You can text HOME to 741-741 in the U.S. or Canada, or 85258 in the UK, or 50808 in Ireland. You can also visit crisistextline.org for more information.
The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which is a 24/7 service that provides free and confidential support for people in distress, as well as prevention and crisis resources. You can call them at 1-800-273-8255 or chat online at suicidepreventionlifeline.org.
The Headspace app, which is a meditation and mindfulness app that can help you reduce stress, improve your mood, and enhance your well-being. The app offers guided meditations, breathing exercises, sleep sounds, and other tools that can help you relax and cope with your emotions. You can download the app for free and try it for 10 days or subscribe for unlimited access to all features. You can find the app on the App Store or Google Play, or visit headspace.com for more information.
These are just some of the resources that we have found helpful, but there are many more out there that can suit your needs or preferences. The most important thing is to reach out for help when you need it, and to know that you are not alone. Mental health is not a weakness, but a strength, and taking care of it is one of the best things you can do for yourself and your loved ones. Until next time.